Welcome to the Cine Bros Podcast, episode 4. We are back with our regular format today. If you watched our last episode, you knew we had a special guest host on, Trenton Chapel from Trenton Chapel Live, because Luke here was on vacation. But this episode, Luke is back with us. Welcome, Lucas.
What is up, everybody?
Luke, how was your vacation?
It was awesome. We went to Sanibel Island in Florida, which is right on the Gulf. It was like a 16, 17 hour plus car ride, which wasn't fun. But once we actually got there, it was really fun. I wish we could have stayed longer, but I'm excited to be back and record this next episode.
What did you do? Was anything open? Like, was there any activities on this island?
Oh, I mean, yeah, everything was open. The only thing that was different is everything, instead of closing at like around 9, would close at like 6 or 7. But I mean, all restaurants and places like that were open.
Gotcha. So you had a good time.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome.
Do you think it would have been more fun if I was there?
Oh, 100%, Ray. I was trying to get my parents to let you come, but they decided against that at the last minute.
Wow.
I know.
Wow. Who would you have rather had, Ray or me?
Gosh, I don't know.
I mean, Luke, thank you. If you take me, we could have fished.
Here's the thing. I don't really like fishing unless I'm always catching something or else I get
bored. I always catch something.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen Ray? He is a fishing machine.
Well, I know he's been fishing every day since quarantine started.
He has been. Ray, literally every statement is almost true.
Every day on Snapchat, he's always posting a picture at some lake or something.
Yeah, gotta grind, right, man. If you want to be the best.
All right, but that's enough about Luke's vacation. We didn't get to go, so we're all depressed. We don't need to talk about it any further. So we're just going to get right into things. But first...
Wait. I did some homework.
Did you do homework too? I did some homework.
Nice. Sorry.
What was your homework on, Ray?
I watched Castaway. What did you watch?
I watched The Revenant.
Hey. Nice. What did you think? I want to hear yours first because I've already watched The Revenant too.
Oh, it was probably the prettiest movie I have ever seen.
It looked great, didn't it?
Yeah. That's the main reason I love it, actually, because it looks so good.
It looked absolutely beautiful. Like, the entire thing looked so great.
And, like, all the action scenes are shot really well, too.
Yeah, they really are.
The bear scene, like one of the opening scenes where they're fighting with one of the tribes.
Oh, yeah.
Castaway was really good. I loved Castaway.
Yeah,
Castaway. I mean, I knew I was going to like Castaway. That's just like my type of movie.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen it, actually.
It's really good. I would recommend it. Tom Hanks, really good performance.
I'm a Tom Hanks fan, so I'll probably check it out.
All right, so what are we going to be debating today, boys? It's you two debating.
Yep, we are talking about whether Avengers Endgame or Avengers Infinity War is a better movie.
And which one of you is on which side?
Well, I am debating that Infinity War is a better movie.
And I got Endgame, the better movie.
And I will be moderating. So just a word about how this format is going to work compared to our other episodes. Since we're debating two movies today, instead of arguing against each other, the rounds will work. They will basically be making the argument for their movie while the other makes the argument for their movie. And if they have anything to say in regards to arguing with the other person, they can do that. But mainly each round will just be them pitching why they prefer their movie over their opponent's. Sound good?
Yep.
Sounds good to me.
All right, so we're just going to launch right into thing with our opening arguments. And since last episode, we started with the winner of the debate, which was me. Well, I've won both debates, so we can't do that this time. But Ray, you have won the most rounds out of the two of you, so we're going to start with you. Make your opening argument for Avengers Endgame.
So we can all agree that Infinity War is a masterpiece of a movie, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
But if we're being honest, it is just another like puzzle piece of the MCU filling into the 10-year lead-up of Avengers Endgame. To me, Endgame gave like way more iconic scenes than Infinity War. It lived up to the hype of the 10-year wait, and it gives every viewer a roller coaster of emotions. It was just done perfectly. You know, how many movies you know that can live up to the hype of 10-year wait?
That is true.
Endgame did it. It did everything exactly how it needed to be, and it was perfect.
And what memorable scenes would you say Endgame had over Infinity War?
The whole final battle. I could watch that battle over any Lord of the Rings battle. I've never seen Game of Thrones, but I would take it over any Game of Thrones battle. It's the greatest like movie battle I've ever seen. That, the scene where Tony at the end, I am Iron Man, snaps after Thanos's. I think Iron Man snaps far more iconic than Thanos's snap.
Okay, and Luke, what do you have to say about that?
I don't know. I mean, I disagree, but once my opening argument starts, I'll dive into that a little bit more.
Feel free to start.
Because if you really think about it, Thanos' snap was undone. Iron Man's won't be.
That is
true.
You're
right, but if you're talking about a moment that affected me more emotionally, and taking away the fact that Iron Man died, like just his snap wasn't as emotionally impactful for me at that moment.
Oh, it was.
When Thanos snapped that crap was going down, like instantly.
I'll get more into that when we go into the further rounds.
Okay.
But I disagree with that very much.
Okay.
All right, so Luke, let's hear your opening argument.
Okay, so here's the thing is that we both talked about it, and Ray touched on it in his argument just now, that both of these movies are masterpieces. I think they're both collectively the best two movies in the MCU. I don't think there's much debate about that. There's other movies in there that are amazing too, but these two stand far ahead of the other ones, at least I think.
I would agree with that.
So and I love Endgame. Endgame, if we were making like a top 20 list of all time, it'd probably be like my number 11 slot. It just missed being in my top 10. So I love it. But I think Infinity War, like Ray said, there's probably more iconic moments in Endgame, it being the ending of the culmination of like a multiple year long story arc of movies. But I think that Infinity War overall is just a better film. I think that because it's not the last part of a trilogy, it doesn't have to spend 20, 30 minutes near the end of the movie wrapping everything up nicely. I love the fact that it ends with our heroes just, I mean, completely decimated, half the universe's population dead. And we knew, obviously, that that wouldn't last. I mean, we obviously knew that wouldn't last because, like we said, we saw trailers for movies that were coming out after Endgame, before Endgame ended up coming out. So we knew that these people would, you know, be back in future installments. But I think that it's still very emotionally impactful. I remember in the theater, everybody was just dead silent. I mean, it ended. It was so dark, such a dark ending. For some reason, I always like movies where the heroes lose. So maybe that kind of plays into why I like Infinity War more. But those are my opening thoughts about Infinity War.
All right, Ray, do you have anything else to say in the opening arguments?
I'll save it for the writing round.
All right, well, let's launch right into it then. Round one, the writing. Whichever one of you wants to start may do so.
So everyone's argument for Infinity War is that all the characters like that turn into dust at the end and everyone's dead and Thanos wins. But that's why, like as Luke was saying, Thanos' snap to him is more impactful because all those characters, it's dead silent. But to me, Iron Man's snap's more impactful because we knew Iron Man wasn't coming back. Whenever the characters died in Infinity War, like when I was walking out of the theater, like I knew they were going to be back for the next movie. Iron Man, he wasn't coming back. So to me, that's why Iron Man snap was more impactful, because like we lost the character we had for 10 years, the character that started the whole MCU, you know?
That's true.
Another writing flaw for me in Infinity War is that we don't get Hulk. There's no Hulk. We have Banner for the entire movie. But in Endgame, we get one of Hulk's coolest forms. He's smart Hulk. He's Hulk, but he can talk. He can talk like a normal person. He's smart. He's Banner and Hulk for once. And we get that in Endgame. Smart Hulk, essentially an Endgame made up for all of Hulk disappointments in Infinity War to me. But also with the writing in Endgame, it gave us a lot of iconic lines, some of those being Thanos to Iron Man, I am inevitable, and Iron Man finesses him and says, I am Iron Man, snaps his fingers. We all know that's iconic. It's going to be iconic. It gives the viewer so many different emotions. You got goosebumps. You don't know if you should be sad, excited. Another line that I love from the movie is when Tony's talking to his daughter and that I love you 3000 line. And then this line just shows the great relationship between Tony and his daughter. But then moments later, you still see the fear in Tony from where he figured out the time travel and knows what he has to do. He has to save everyone. He has to go through with Doctor Strange's plan. Also, I'll add one more line. The hey Cap on your left line. That's just one of my favorite lines because afterwards I just remember having goosebumps seeing all the characters come out of the portal. I remember it gives you goosebumps, gets the audience pumped. And I remember me and Eli at work all the time used to say that line, just like we'd be in the middle of a big rush or something. And he'd be like on my left, scooping popcorn, and be like, hey Cap, on your left. And that's just like a lot of these lines stay with you. And like I haven't watched the movie. I watched it 3 times when it was in theaters, but I haven't watched it since, really. So I didn't even need to watch it to take these notes, to jot, to get ready for my argument, you know? And the last thing I'll add is that it's just Endgame is just written to be a roller coaster of emotions, and it just hits home on every emotion that it's trying to get. And that's about all I have from our writing argument.
All right, Luke, what do you have?
Okay, so here's, and it's kind of funny because normally in a debate setting, we'd argue that one movie is bad and one is good, but I agree with a lot of what Ray said. A lot of iconic lines, and there are more iconic lines in Endgame than Infinity War, but I think when you just look at the actual writing and everything that it explores, I think that Infinity War is a little bit more complex than Endgame, starting with Thanos. Everybody loves Thanos, or they love to hate Thanos. He's obviously the best villain in the MCU. Very fleshed out. They show his emotions and they explain his motivations, and despite how horrific they are, you understand kind of where he's coming from, which is a little scary to think about, but they do such a good job of showing where he's coming from. He's just going about it the wrong way, obviously. So you know what he's doing is wrong, but at the same time, you can see why he thinks what he's doing is right. And it explores that really well. In the other movies before, we hadn't seen a lot of Thanos. He's in a couple end credit scenes, and he's in the first Guardians of the Galaxy for a little bit. I mean, he talks to Ronan the Accuser for a little bit, but he's not in there a whole lot. But so before this one, and I was definitely expecting this, I can't speak for both of you all and other people who are listening, but I assumed that Thanos was going to be kind of a big generic villain who, you know, didn't do a whole lot, or he did a whole lot, but didn't have a lot to him. He was bad for the sake of being bad, but that's not what happened at all. They explored all that. They explored his relationship with his daughters, Nebula and Gamora, and the scene where they go to Vormir in order to get one of the stones, and you have to sacrifice what you love, and he drags Gamora over there and throws her to her death so he can get the stone is so tragic. And it's the best I've ever seen them use Gamora, because Gamora has always been fun. I like the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, but she's never been one of my favorites or anything. She's cool. She kicks a lot of butt when she fights, but she hadn't really, you know, there's never really any emotionally impactful scenes with her. But that one, that's probably the most emotional moment in this movie, I think, is whenever he throws her over the edge, he kills his daughter, and despite how horribly he treated Nebula, he loved Gamora. And obviously, sacrifice one you love, and he sacrificed his daughter, and he's crying as he's doing it, tears running down his face, and it just shows how committed he is to committing this horrible act and killing half the universe's population. And I think for them to flesh out a giant purple villain like that, who looks on paper, sounds like he'd be very one-dimensional, trying to kill half the universe, but the way they flesh him out was amazing. And going to Endgame doesn't focus on Thanos as much. Infinity War is almost Thanos' story, in a way. You can almost flip perspectives of the movie, and the Avengers can be an antagonistic force, and you kind of see it from Thanos' perspective a little bit, because it focuses primarily on him, whereas Endgame obviously focuses more on the Avengers, and which makes sense, it should. You know, they're the heroes, they need to come out on top in the end. But Endgame kind of transforms Thanos, I believe, from this very complex villain in Infinity War, who's very fleshed out, and we see his motivations and understand what he's doing, to, okay, well, this plan didn't work, so I'm just going to destroy everything and build it over. It takes this very complex villain and kind of just makes him very one-dimensional. And I think that's the biggest flaw with Endgame's writing. But going away from Thanos, I also think that Infinity War has more room, being the first part of a two-film arc, or really multiple film arc, but being the first of really one giant film, being the first part of it, it has a lot more creativity and freedom to do a lot more things. So they go to a lot more planets, they go to nowhere, which they go to, from Guardians of the Galaxy to The Collector and everything like that. Benicio del Toro comes back in a little role, which is pretty cool. Always like to see him and stuff. They go to Nidavir, and Thor creates Stormbreaker out of a dying star, and Peter Dinklage has a little cameo. And I like Thor's dynamic overall with the Guardians of the Galaxy, and I think Thor might be, other than Thanos, might be the best written character in the movie. It continues his arc from Ragnarok very well, and it sets him up for what ends up happening in Endgame.
I would agree that Thor is the best character in Infinity War. He was my favorite in that one. He brought the hype in that movie.
Right, yeah. But again, yeah, going to nowhere and Nidavir, and then we go to Titan for that fight near the end, Thanos' home planet that's decimated and stuff, and they have that big fight there. And I just like how everything kind of comes together in that sense, how we see all these different areas of the galaxy that we don't even typically see, even in a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. It goes even further in exploring that. You get a lot of comedic moments, which the MCU is full of comedic moments and very well-written comedy, with Thor and Star-Lord, which is really entertaining, how they both are like wanting to be in charge of the Guardians. It's just a lot of fun stuff. And then you balance out that fun stuff with a lot of really dark elements. Obviously, since this is the first part of a two-part, like, overarching film, really, it can take the time to flesh everything out more, and it's not trapped in this box of, okay, we have to wrap everything up nicely at the end. You know, I know I touched on that on my opening argument, but the biggest thing for me that makes Infinity War better than Endgame isn't a fault of Endgame. It's just the fact that Infinity War didn't have to wrap everything up at the end. It can take a lot more risks in its storytelling, and it can do a lot more. And obviously, even though we knew the heroes were going to come back, I mean, I don't remember a moment in the theater that was more shocking to me than that. And I'll get into a certain scene whenever everybody's crumbling to dust and the acting portion that I think is very, very impressive. But I'll get into that about the acting. But I just think overall that the writing for Infinity War was better. And it's not a fault of Endgame, really, because Endgame's writing was also really well. It was written by the same people, Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely, who had written all the Captain America movies, too, and Thor the Dark World, which we don't talk about that one.
We don't talk about
it,
no.
Right, yeah, it's terrible. But so the writing in both films is really good, but Infinity War isn't held back creatively by being the end of this giant saga of movies. So I just think that makes it more impressive. And to just end this, I know I've been talking for a while, but just to end this real quick, he brought up Hulk, and I know Hulk isn't in this movie much, it's Banner, but honestly didn't mind that. I like how Hulk does show up at the very beginning on the spaceship with the Asgardians, obviously after the events of Thor Ragnarok, and he fights Thanos, and Thanos beats the crap out of him, and then Hulk is almost like scared to come out after that, which sounds goofy, and it is kind of goofy, and they play it mainly as a joke, but when you think about it, it sets up how strong Thanos is, because Thor is literally one of the strongest Avengers, and Thanos pretty handily takes him down. And then I like how Banner still plays a part into the plot. He wears the Hulk Buster armor later and fights during the final battle on Wakanda, which is really cool. So they still keep Banner involved and find ways to make that character interesting, because the Hulk is cool, but he's very one note. So I like the fact that they explored Banner's character a little more instead of him being the Hulk. So anyway, okay,
let's be real. Yeah. I was cool with having Banner like throughout the movie, but in the final battle, I did not want to see Banner in a Hulk Buster suit. I wanted to see Hulk.
I mean,
and I think we all did.
I see what you're saying, but I still think it was kind of cool, though, to see him still contribute to the battle. And he does pretty good. I mean, Thanos takes him out pretty easy when he gets there, but I didn't mind it.
And Luke, anyway, I want to add one more thing to your argument.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, you argue that Thanos, his story is the Infinity War is basically his story.
Right.
And argue that we don't get that in Endgame. We don't have to get that in Endgame because it's already set up for us. You know, his character's already there for us. They know what they're doing with that.
Well, you're right. I'm just saying that. I just think that.
Yeah, I just think it's cool that we don't have to, in the next movie, we don't have to set up the villain anymore. It's already set up and they can just go.
Right, but you still have to expand on him a little bit. I mean, you can't just be like, well, we already fleshed him out.
I think his story was told enough. And I think that we do get bits and pieces of what's going on more from Thanos and his relationship with his daughters in Endgame through the time travel. So I think that's a bit of a stretch when you're saying we don't get any of that in Endgame, because we do get some of it just to add some context with Gamora and Nebula. But as far as his story, most of his story is already told in Infinity War. Endgame is just it's more of the heroes coming back to fix everything.
Okay. I see where you're coming from on that, but
I'm going to agree with Ray on this one because, you know, from a writing standpoint, you have a two-part finale, right? You have this big bad villain who's like the ultimate evil that's been set up for 10 years. And then you have all of your heroes. And at the end of the first movie, which, as you both said, it's Thanos' story, the heroes lose. They're defeated. They're broken down. Half of them are dead. In the next one, you don't really need to have a Thanos-centric story because Thanos has already won. His arc is mostly complete. We need to focus on the final part and how the heroes bounce back, how they're going to redeem themselves, how they're going to defeat this villain.
And I don't know if this would be more writing or directing, but the beginning of Endgame is just so dark, so sad. You can see every character's just going through it after the defeat. And I think that instead of showing more of Thanos in Endgame, they needed to show that, how defeated the characters were, so that, you know, their win in the end can look even bigger. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying, but so you might have gotten me on the Thanos argument, but I think my other points still stand about it. It explores more, I think, overall in the universe. And I don't know. I think the writing overall is better. And I mean, both scripts are great. I mean, they're both very well written and they're by the same people. So there's a lot of consistency between them. But yeah, I can see where you're coming from on that one.
All right. Does anyone have anything else to add for the writing?
I think I'm ready to move on.
Luke?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. So we're going to launch right into round two, the directing. We're going to switch it off. Luke, how about you start us off this round?
Okay, so coming up with notes I did rewatch both the movies, and coming up for notes about each section of the debate, the directing was the hardest, because I think this and Endgame, they're direct. I mean, again, they're both directed by the Russo brothers, who also directed Winter Soldier and Civil War. Great directors, and they directed Infinity War and Endgame. And I don't think there's not really a whole lot to talk about when it comes to directing between these movies. So what I'm going to instead focus on, and we'll talk about cinematography and the color scheme, because again, and this isn't a fault of Endgame, because Endgame thematically is darker, obviously. It starts out in a very dark place, and like Ray was saying, it's very dark color palette. Once Thor cuts off Thanos' head in Endgame and it cuts to 5 years later, I mean, the world, it's like basically post-apocalyptic, very dark. Dark color scheme is obviously the point of what they're going for, so it's not a fault of them, but I just love, and again, maybe this is why the Guardians of the Galaxy movies are some of my favorite MCU movies, but they're just so colorful and lively, and you got all these fun planets, and it shows up really well, and you know, all the fights are really cool and everything like that, and going to all these different locations in the Marvel Universe that we haven't seen before. I think that is a lot more exciting. Now, again, that's not a fault of Endgame, because Endgame, thematically, that needs to happen. It needs to be darker. But I think in Infinity War, all the locations and everything, it just makes it a lot more exciting, and it really allows the production team to expand a little bit. You know, it gives them more of a challenge, because you got to go to all these different planets and design everything, so you get the colorfulness of all these different planets in space, and then you go to nowhere. It's like this dark, or Titan, sorry. Titan is like this desolated planet, Thanos' home planet, and there's a big fight at the end, and then there's that giant battle on Wakanda that is just so awesome to look at. Very colorful and very well shot. And I also think that the best thing about these two movies, in my opinion, from an action standpoint, is the fight choreography. Because in a lot of action movies nowadays, especially during the 2010s, it's a lot of shaky cam stuff. If you watch like the Taken movies, which the first one's okay, but the other two aren't very good. But a lot of movies like that, it's very shaky cam. You can't really tell a lot of what's going on, a lot of choppy editing. In these movies, the stunt team is fantastic. You can see all the action in the center, and you can totally see everything that's going on. You know, you don't have to be like, well, who just hit what, or what exactly is happening? And I think in this movie, it's even more so. I think it's even more impressive, because in the fight in Wakanda, think about it. There's all of those, I don't know exactly what they're called, but those creatures that Thanos brings to Wakanda versus like all the most of the Marvel heroes, except Iron Man and Spider-Man and the Guardians who were fighting on Titan. But that fight on Wakanda is amazing. It's so, the directing is so tight on those scenes. You know, they're fighting and they're bum rushing each other. That scene where they kind of both start on this field and the good guys and the bad guys are on each side and they come in and collide real quick. It'd be very easy to be like, what the heck's going on? It's just a jumbled mess. But no, there's very close-up shots of the creatures fighting everybody, and Captain America's kicking a lot of butt. He probably does the best in that fight. He's really cool. But for everything like that, everything that's happening right there, as compact and, you know, as similar, because all of Thanos' men look similar. You know, these creatures, they're the same type of creature, so they look similar. But the fact that they're fighting and it doesn't look completely like jumbled and you can actually tell what's going on, to me, is very impressive. It's shot very well. So I think the fight choreography in this movie is a little bit better. Now, obviously, like Ray was saying, the fight at the end of Endgame is amazing. No one can really debate that. But I think just from a directing standpoint, I think that makes Infinity War's directing a little better. But Ray, you can add on to that.
You talk about the end fight in Wakanda of Infinity War being shot really well, all jumbled up. But if you look at the end fight in Endgame, it's so much bigger. All the characters are there. There's so many. They find ways to put Easter eggs of like Howard the Duck in there, other characters in there. And that scene's so easy to jumble up and mess up with all the characters there, but they still did it right in Endgame. And I think that battle's levels above the Wakanda battle. And I still think the Wakanda battle's really good.
Well, I don't think that, here's the thing, I don't agree with that. I don't think that it's easier to jumble up, because it's all these established characters and it's people you recognize in the Endgame fight. It's not going to be as hard. The fact that...
Well, there's a lot of unestablished characters there too.
But like it's people, but there's not as many established characters in Infinity War as there is in Endgame, because they're off different places fighting.
Okay,
so I think the fact that there's these like faceless drone people, or not drones, but like faceless goons that you can still distinguish from the other, even though they all kind of look identical, makes it impressive. Whereas in Endgame, I mean, again, both fights are hard. It's hard to kind of argue between each other, but because both movies are great. But I just feel like mine is a little bit more impressive given what they had.
But think about it. It's, you have all of those characters there, and you need to show all of them multiple times throughout the battle. And it could be easy to miss out on one of those characters, miss out on giving them one of those scenes. So I think it was impressive that they got all of them in there. All the battle was perfect. They got all the characters, but I'll let you continue.
Well, I mean, I don't have a whole lot more to add about it. I mean, I think that, again, and this goes a little bit back to the writing, but I like the fact that they explore more locations where Infinity War or in Endgame, they do go back to previous Marvel movies, but I mean, that's not really a fault of either of the movies. But I just think that Infinity War is a little bit more daring overall as a film because it can be, because it's not the end part of a trilogy or the end part of a two-part movie, essentially. So that's why I like it more. But anyway, I'm done with the directing part if Ray wants to take off.
All right, Ray, go for it.
Okay, so when I open with the directing, I just want to mention that Avengers Age of Ultron came out in 2015. And in this movie, we see Cap move Thor's hammer.
Yes.
4 years down the line, we actually get to see Cap going to work with the hammer, you know, and I think that's one of the greatest context clues ever set up in the way that the directors acknowledged that was in Age of Ultron and brought it back into Endgame. It's just such great attention to detail.
Well, that's not to interrupt, but that's like a screenwriting thing. That's not really a direction thing, I don't think.
You're not seeing where I'm coming from. I'm just saying, like, the way that the Russo brothers brought it to life. You know what I mean? After it was shown in the past, they acknowledged that it was there, and they probably had an idea from when they knew they were supposed to direct the movie. They knew, probably had the idea of how they wanted to bring that to life. But I don't know. I have other things to go from.
Okay.
Endgame is a movie where you could easily get confused watching. With time travel, there's so much going on. And I think that the directors do a great job of making this not confusing. You know, they managed to be in three different timelines at once, and I wasn't confused at all. And, you know, while we're in those three different timelines, speaking of it, we get to see so many different viewpoints of, you know, like old things that happened in the old MCU movies. When we see Thor and Rocket go back to... That was Thor the Dark World, right? He's back on Asgard.
Where he has to get the stone from Natalie Portman.
But we get to see new characters in new places, new characters that some of the old things that were going on in the older movies that some of these characters weren't even thought of being there before. You know, we get to see the scene with Hulk and what's her name? The girl that trained Dr. Strange.
I don't know. It's Tilda Swinton, the actress who plays her, but I don't know the character's name.
We'll just say the wizard who trained Dr. Strange.
Okay.
Yeah. That scene's cool to me. You know, we didn't even know she was there when we were watching Avengers, when that whole thing's going on.
That is true.
But that to me is cool. I think that the directors do a great job of delivering us the iconic scenes. You could tell they have great relationships with the actors, but that's for both movies. That's not just only for Endgame.
See, but real quick, Ray, I would argue that while it is obviously really cool that they go back to all those previous Marvel movies, but there's a lot of fan service that goes along with that too. I think a lot of it gets fan-servicey.
With this movie, with it being the 10-year lead up, you need to have a little bit of fan service in it.
Well, a little bit's fine, and you get quite a bit of it, but sometimes it overdoes it a little bit. But I don't think it was overdone.
And they put the bow on it perfectly with ending Iron Man's character. They ended Cap's character. They were passing the torch. Cap obviously passed the torch to Sam, and Iron Man obviously is going to end up passing the torch to Spider-Man or his daughter even. They gave us a great funeral for Iron Man's character. Everything's just wrapped up perfectly into a bow.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, but that's not about directing. That's script. That's screenwriting. But I see what you're saying, though. But I mean...
Well, I mean, earlier when we were doing writing, you were giving a lot of acting examples.
I don't think so.
That was most of your argument. But let me see if I have anything further to add. The directors do a great job of using their actors. They capitalize off the emotions that the actors give, and they use those emotions, and they pick it up and move on to the next thing that they need to do. But I don't really have anything further to add. We can move on if you'd like. Pretty bumpy round.
All right, so that's round two, the directing done. So we're going to go ahead and move on to the acting. So which one of you would like to start round three? Do you want to switch off again and have Ray start?
Sure. Yeah, that sounds fun.
So we get in Endgame and Infinity War, we have pretty much the same group of actors. But I think that personally, the acting is better in Endgame. I think that Robert Downey Jr. probably gave the best performance of his career in this movie. He gave us a lot of iconic scenes throughout the MCU. And before he left, he gave us some iconic ones to end with. There's some new characters that we get in Endgame that weren't in Infinity War. We get Paul Rudd back as Ant-Man. He gives great comic relief in the movie. Great character, shows us with time travel, shows us how to do the time travel, except Iron Man really ended up figuring it out. Ant-Man just had the starting idea, but we have his character back and he gave us a good performance. We get Jeremy Renner back, who wasn't present in Infinity War. And we get to see a lot of him in this movie. He gives a really good performance. We get every Marvel character played by the right actors in this movie. It's like every actor that you could have think of to play these characters played them, and they all played the role the exact way that it needed to be played. Everything's done well. All the emotion actors do a great job of letting you know what emotions you need to be feeling at the time. You know, I remember, you know, the Iron Man scene, everyone crying. Or the Cap on Your Left scene, everyone chanting. The characters do a great job of letting you know, like, of helping lead you through the roller coaster of emotions that the movie is. And I'll let Luke go ahead and start his argument.
Okay, right, so other than with my argument, other than Ray saying that the acting in Endgame is better, I pretty much agree with everything else he said. I do think that overall, I think Robert Downey Jr. is better in Endgame, so I will agree with him there. But I just love the fact that, and there's one moment in particular I want to talk about with the acting, but that's not all that I want to talk about. But in Infinity War, but I just think Infinity War is a little bit better acted. I think especially from Chris Hemsworth, which he was written very well, but just aside from his writing and his material that he was given being very good, I think Chris Hemsworth, I think this is my favorite performance of his. His emotional journey in this movie and the fact that he expresses that so well. Chris Hemsworth is a much better actor than a lot of people give him credit for, I think.
I would agree, like Hemsworth.
Yeah, he's a really good actor. And you're right, you know, you don't focus as much on, again, it is more of a story about Thanos Infinity War, but I want to talk about Josh Brolin, because I think Josh Brolin's performance in this movie is my favorite. And I think that he shows his emotions. He's so believable in everything that he does. All of his emotions are shown so good, and they shine through all of the CGI and motion capture, which is obviously amazing. In the direction, I didn't even talk about quite CGI, but I think we can all agree that the CGI in both these movies are just unreal. It's like amazing in both of them. But yeah, so I think Josh Brolin, the fact that he can show so much emotion and give such a believable and visceral performance through all of the, you know, motion capture work and the CGI and everything else happening, the fact that he can show a lot of that with, he is doing the motion capture, but a lot of that with his voice too is very impressive to me. So, and people don't talk as much about his performance in this movie. Everybody loves Thanos, but as far as Josh Brolin's performance, he doesn't get the credit he deserves. I think he does a great job in Infinity War. I think overall it's better acted, and a scene that I've been wanting to talk about the whole time, but I saved until this ending part. At the end of Infinity War, when half the people are disintegrating, there's a scene between Tom Holland and Robert Downey Jr. that was improvised. And Tyler is the one who told me it was improvised. I didn't even realize it. But everybody knows the scene, you know, Mr. Stark, I don't feel so good. And it's just so, golly, it's just so crushing, dude. It's hard to even put into words. And the fact that was improvised and was so believable between the two actors, and Tom Holland being able to improvise something like that at that young of an age, being in his early 20s, doing that great of a job, was just so impressive to me. So there's not a whole lot I have to say about the acting, because I think a lot of it kind of goes without saying, but that is why I think the acting in Infinity War is better.
All right. Anyone have anything else to add?
No, I don't think so. I think
I'm good.
All right. Well, in that case.
Oh, no, I have one more thing to add on that.
Ooh, one last thing from Ray.
So I just want to give Chris Evans some credit, because his character arc is absolutely, it's just incredible. From Civil War, you can see his character being kind of dark in the beginning of Infinity War, and then he's kind of, you know, upset, because at the end of Civil War we all know what happened, and then Infinity War takes place a little bit afterwards, Infinity War, and then in Endgame we get to see his character come full circle, come into the hero that he truly is, and everyone, he proved everyone wrong, and he he gave the performance. He gave just as good a performance as Robert Downey Jr. in my opinion, and gave a great ending to his character as well. That's all I'll add.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Chris Evans was great in it. Yep.
All right, so moving right on to the closing arguments. I think we'll bookend this the way we started. So Ray, you can go first.
So to close out, I'll just say that Endgame for me has the edge because it just has more staying power. It has more of those iconic moments in it. Both movies are great. Endgame just does a phenomenal job of capitalizing off of everything that happened in Infinity War and everything that's ever been in the MCU. It built up all the hype. It lived up to the hype. Takes you through the roller coaster of emotions, gives you all the iconic moments, and that just gives it the edge for me.
All right, Luke.
Okay, so both of these movies are iconic, amazing, some of my favorites. But Infinity War, I just think's better because, again, narratively, it doesn't have a lot of constraints to it. It can branch out and be kind of weird and end in a very dark way. And even though Endgame ended up fixing all that, which it should have, I think overall the writing wasn't held down and they could explore more options and make it a little bit more interesting in this movie as opposed to Endgame. I think that this movie provided us with one of the greatest cinematic villains ever. Definitely the best MCU villain. I don't think that's up for debate. The improvisation in this movie and the acting overall, I think, is just a little bit better. And the fight choreography is also just a little bit better in this movie. Both movies are great. I just prefer Infinity War, but I will watch either of them any day. So that is my closing argument.
All right. And with that, the debate is finished. So I now have to pick a winner. And I will say, of the four episodes that we have filmed so far, I think this debate was the closest.
Really? Okay.
Even closer than our Last Jedi one?
Even closer than the Last Jedi one, yes.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
This is a very, very controversial...
Why do I always have to be in the close ones?
This is a very controversial opinion, probably. I will say there are two rounds that... If I were operating on a tie scale, that would have been a tie. So
okay.
Let's just go right into it. Now, for reference, I'm not using a tie scale. We have to have a winner for each round. So that is going to be in my decision. So for the opening argument, I have to give it to Ray because I felt like Ray... Even though, Luke, you had some examples, you brought in some examples into why you liked Infinity War better than Endgame, I think Ray just brought it to me. He made me feel more that he was impassioned about Endgame than you did for Infinity War.
Okay.
Round one.
I respect that.
Oh, and for reference, people, I did see Endgame in theaters three times. So I was in the theaters for over 9 hours watching this movie.
That is true. That is very true. Now, round one, the writing, it was not close. Luke won very convincingly. Luke had all of the examples. He was confident in what he was talking about. And then Ray, I feel like writing rounds are your weakest point. I think we saw that in the last
episode. I thought I did good in the writing round this time. I thought I won that one.
No, unfortunately, this one went to Luke. I just felt like he had a little more in his... In his argument, he had more examples. He had a better understanding, I think, of how writing is done in movies. So I had to give it to Luke.
Thank you, Tyler.
Round two, the directing. I think this one might be controversial between you two. I had to give it to Ray.
Yes.
I kind of expected that.
So this is another round that Ray won in the directing. He won the directing round in our last debate as well. You know, I'm not going to lie, Luke, you had some good points. You know, you made the very valid critique that Ray's writing, his argument kind of blended writing and directing a little bit. But I felt like you did the same thing and focused more on cinematography, the fight choreography and everything like that. So I felt like you're pretty even, but I felt like Ray just did a little bit better.
Okay, I respect that opinion.
Going back to the writing round, just one second. Ray, I felt like in the end, you did come back a little bit. You came back when you were going after Luke at the end there.
That's usually my strategy for the writing rounds, is to just go at you guys after what you say, instead of kind of, because my opinions are very different than both of yours. I like to just, the way I do my arguments, I like to build mostly off of you guys, but I do have my own opening arguments if it does end up going that way.
That is true.
Okay.
Now, going into round three, the acting. This is one of the rounds that would, I operate on a tie scale, would have been a tie. I feel like you both did very well in pitching your side of the acting. You know, I think you both agreed with the other that the acting across both movies was pretty good, but
right, yep.
I feel like Luke, he had more specific examples, and he just had more to say about the acting. You know, yeah, that's what I gotta say. Luke, he just had some more examples than everything to add.
Okay.
So
okay.
For another debate, we are tied 2-2 going into the closing argument.
I'm getting worried.
And again, this round on a tie scale would have been a tie. I think you both did very well in your closing argument. Luke, I felt you did a little bit better in your closing argument than you did your opening argument. So the winner for the closing argument and thus the winner of the debate is Ray.
Yes! Yes!
So,
oh, gosh. Yes. Okay.
Luke, it was close. It was close. Like I said, it was a very, very close debate. You did very convincingly well in the writing and the acting rounds. But in the closing argument, I think that Ray did a better job in his closing argument pitching Endgame. I felt that you, in your closing argument, kind of agreed with Ray that both movies were good and that you could watch either one. So because of that, I've got to give it to Ray.
Okay.
Hey, Luke, either way, I had a fun time with you today.
I did too.
And Luke, like we said in the first episode where you debated me with Brightburn, you will win some debates. You are a good debater.
Yeah, Luke, you put up a great fight.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it.
But unfortunately, that debate is not today, and it goes to Ray.
Thank you.
Okay, so to end off the episode, we're of course going to do story time, and Ray has a story for us today. But before we do that, a word from our sponsor.
So today, I'm going to be telling you guys a story that's not from work. It's just from an idiot kid in high school. An idiot kid who had just gotten his license.
Oh, no.
The idiot kid being me. So I was a bit of a wild child in high school. I've calmed down a bit since, but a couple of my friends and I were leaving cross-country practice, and we decided, hey, man, they're having an open gym. Let's go to the gym, get a couple shots up. So we were in there shooting, open gym ends. So I've just got my license, have a couple buddies in my car. We have a little gravel lot back there by the gym. I start busting donuts, man. I'm busting them like crazy, throwing gravel everywhere. I didn't have a care in the world.
Okay.
That all ended whenever I saw a large group of people flailing their arms at me, telling me to stop.
Oh, no. What happened?
This large group of people being the school board, the chief of police.
Oh, what? No.
My school superintendent and my school principal.
Oh, my, Ray.
What happened?
Ray, you done frigged up.
So after I see all these people, my first instinct is to run. I'm like, all right, man, I got to get out of here.
Oh, no.
I didn't end up running. I parked my car and I went and hid in the gym.
Oh, hell no.
They found me. And then I go outside, start talking to the chief of police. He's telling me it's a good thing he wasn't in his uniform, because if he was in his uniform, I probably would have went to jail.
Okay.
That's pretty much what he told me. But moral of the story, my stepdad and the cop kind of had a little bit of a talk or something. My stepdad kind of talked me out of this one. So shout out to him for having my back.
Shout out to his stepdad.
But my mom ends up calling me. Where the f*** you at? What the f*** you doing? Oh, I'm hearing it, man. But my mom ended up following me home. I got grounded from my car for 3 days. It was a total of 3 days because my grandma did it.
3 days.
She didn't want to drive me to school anymore. So she was like, all right, you got to get him his car back. But moral of the story, don't do donuts in front of your school board, the chief of police, then pretty much the entire school. I got lucky.
Or you can do all those things and have a story for story time out of it.
Yeah. Looking back on it, it's one of the funnier things that happened on me. My parents will even laugh about it now.
That's a pretty good one.
That is pretty good, yeah.
Have you guys ever heard that one?
No, I don't think so.
I feel like I've heard you talk about getting in trouble like that, but I didn't know you were doing donuts or, and I didn't know it was front of the school board or not. So
also had Saturday school for a couple weeks.
Oh, see, I've never... See, at Boyd County, we had Friday school, which was literally you just stayed after school like 3 hours on Friday.
I had to wake up at 8 a.m. on Saturday and go clean the gym with my football coach.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. Hmm. But it was fun looking back on it. I don't really regret it, but I probably wouldn't do it again.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. All right, so with that, we brings another episode of the Cinebros podcast to a close. If you liked us and want to follow what we're doing, you can follow us on all of our social media platforms at Cinebros P on Twitter, Cinebros Podcast on Facebook, Cinebros Podcast on Instagram. If you're on Reddit, we also have our own subreddit at r/Cinebros Podcast. Boys, you have anything else to add before we go?
Not really. Thanks for the listens, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Fun debate today, Luke. Look forward to more in the future.
Yep.
All right, and with that, we will see you.